Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's try now to welcome in the Cardinals beat writer. That would be Derek Gould. Derek, sorry for a little bit of a delay, but it's good to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Absolutely. No worries, just wandering around Dallas waiting for a flight, so this works out.
So covering the All-Star game, an All-Star game which, as it turned out, really didn't contain much of a Cardinal. Ryan Helsley was there, but he elected not to pitch, which, quite honestly, it doesn't bother me, and I don't think it bothers Cardinals fans to know that your closer is going to get some legit time off.
Right, yeah. I mean, he had a conversation with, I guess, the Cardinal. Well, no, I know the Cardinals, and just kind of thought through things, and opted to participate in everything but the game. And even during the game, he was out in the bullpen with his fellow relievers. So he got to make the most of the evening, and had all kinds of photos and everything with family, niece, parents, everybody there. So he got to enjoy it. But one of the things he told me he wanted to do was have kind of big family dinner Monday night here. And one of the things he wanted to celebrate, he told me, was his health, not just the first half he had and being an All-Star, but like that he was healthy and feeling good going into the second half. And he wanted to preserve that.
Yeah. And I've talked a lot on this show, as well as on Cardinals coverage, that the Cardinals were very open from the start. They were very intentional about the way they were going to be deploying him this year, and it's clearly paid dividends. And I think that at this point, even maybe a little disruption in that, you worry about what that might look like to his second half going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting how they have gone several years. This goes back at least, even to Mike Schilt, where it was like, all right, well, We're gonna depart from the traditional bullpen setup, the one that everybody's used to, the one that had Trevor Rosenthal cranking out 40 saves, and the one that Mike Matheny talked about having wanting his closer to feel like he was the only man in the world, I believe, or some kind of phrase like that, where he was like, that was the guy, and everything was going to him, and he was a responsibility. And the Cardinals had kind of departed from that and said, look, we have a really good reliever in Ryan Helsley, an ace out of the bullpen, so why wait to deal him when the bigger part of the lineup, the muscle part of the lineup, is up and it's in the seventh and it's a one-run game? Get your best guy there. If it's the eighth, get your best guy there. It's similar to what the Brewers did with Josh Hader and then later on with Devin Williams, and more teams are going that way. But entering this year, they thought, okay, well, how to get the most from Helsley. And I talked to pitching coach Dusty Blake, and he made an interesting point that, one of the things they looked at was like long term, not just these like lightning bolt closers that we see so often now, where it's three saves one year and, DFA'd the next and bouncing around. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen those guys. And he said one of the characteristics of like long term successful closers is that steady use, that notion of like, okay, this is when you're going to pitch in the ninth. Some of that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Like a guy who gets 30 saves and year after year is obviously appearing a lot in the ninth inning, so it does feed itself. But the notion was that the durability is there, the consistency there, and there was a real awareness of the stress of that moment. And moving a guy in and out of it, depending on his personality, maybe doesn't always work for him. Maybe doesn't always fit. And maybe he can bring out more from a guy if he knows, all right, I am going to pitch with the game on the line every time. And what a first half they got as a result.
Yeah, no question. I don't think you can argue with the results in any way. And I appreciate the fact he's celebrating his health as well as his first half. So good for him, and we look forward to a good second half. As you look at what this team has done specifically over the last 2 months since Mother's Day, mm-hmm. as they've really made this turnaround towards where we are now at the All-Star break, was there anything that you saw that you picked up? Did you have any indication that, or did you foreshadow any of this coming down the way it has, this team getting to 50 wins and being in a wild card spot and in the division race at the break?
Yeah, I mean, to be candid, a lot of it happened while I was away. You know, I took, for the first time ever, took a break during the middle of the season, had an opportunity to take a trip with my son that I didn't want to pass up, once-in-a-lifetime type of thing. And so I took that, and I come back to a team with a winning record. So maybe I'm not the guy to ask. I think it's interesting you put it the way of foreshadow, right? I mean, look, this team was built to improve its starting pitching day to day. Last year, we talked so much about it. It's spent the entire season chasing its tail pitching-wise, right? It just constantly had an innings deficit it couldn't replay. I think it was on Camel X and maybe in print that I likened it to the student loan debt. They just were never getting out of it when day after day they didn't have starters providing. So I think if you're looking for a foreshadow, it's that they got that. Now, like the bulk innings, like you might go, oh man, well they're not getting all that much different number of innings from their starters. And you're right, they're light on that compared to what they wanted. But what they are getting is they're not getting five innings because they had to get the guy through five innings to save the bullpen, and he allowed seven, right?
Right.
And they're not getting that day after day. They're getting so many reliable, consistent, and invaluable starts from Kyle Gibson. They're getting the lightning bolts of excellence from Sonny Gray. They're getting the durable, you know, he's going to be there outings from Lance Lynn and strikeouts from Lance Lynn. I think they're, if you're looking for what foreshadowed 50 wins at the break, it's that the starting rotation kept on cranking and Andre Pallante contributed and it just kept on going. And it wasn't like this mad scramble for innings and wondering who was going to pitch and how they were going to cover things, like it was constantly last year. And that has really, you know, covered for the lack of an offense, specifically from the two guys paid a lot to carry the offense, which is the other part of it is that, you know, you got guys like Alec Burleson and Mason Winn who are doing more than was expected of them to elevate a lineup. And when that offense clicked and that pitching continued, you knew they were going to crank out some wins.
And boy, I mean, you mentioned the two, obviously, in Burleson and Winn, and it's been a lot of fun. And I've said a couple of times, you know, John Rooney has that phrase, get the line moving and keep the line moving. I think that's where this offense excels, is that it's not necessarily always going to be the bopper, but it's going to be, man, we're going to single you to death. Or if you put a guy on, we're going to move him over. I mean, and that kind of thing, when they get that rolling, that's what can be scary about what the offense looks like right now, to me.
Yeah, it's had to be that way because they play so many close games, and one of the reasons why they play so many close games is because they don't hit very well with runners in scoring position. They don't do a whole lot of damage with runners in scoring position. Can they do some damage with runners in scoring? And a lot of that, I mean, look, every time you look at the offense, it's impossible for the color wheel not to spin back to the guys in the middle of the lineup and looking for, you know, some heat from them, right? Like, I mean, runners in scoring position, the team has struggled. Well, who has the most appearances with runners in scoring position? Doing damage, well, this offense has struggled. Well, who's expected? I mean, like I said, every time you try to get a different look or you want to change the kind of focus of the offense, it still comes back to the same guys. And, you know, if they can have strong second halves, then you're talking about a team that can really gain ground.
It certainly feels like that way, and it actually feels like perhaps maybe Nolan Arenado is starting to click in a little bit. We've seen some indications, better swings, just, even as we said, better clutch moments. He had the two-out hit the other night against two-strike hit against the Cubs the other night. Do you feel like this team, this administration, John Mozeliak, Bill DeWitt, are they comfortable with making a move, maybe making an uncomfortable move, to make this team a playoff contender, or I should say a team that might be able to advance in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry for the...
No, that's...
I mean, I guess that's a direct answer.
Sure.
I don't know. And to be honest, it's like, if they do, then we know.
Yep.
If they don't, then we know.
That's fair.
At this time of year, it's not like they're going to, like, show a lot about what they're trying to do, or get, I mean, they might give you guys a clear answer when, like, because it's Game X, right? They might give, you guys might press them into a clear answer, but they're not offering much. You know, I mean, they could use a starting pitcher. There are starting pitchers available. They'll look into that. They do have, they are in a spot where they could make some moves with some solid prospects, right?
Yeah.
They accumulated more depth last year as sellers. They have drafted well, particularly last year. They've had some really strong performance of guys. They've created some depth. It's going to be a similar kind of deal, right? Like, some of their depth is in the outfield, so if they trade an outfielder, get ready for that guy to be an all-star, I guess, elsewhere. But that tends to be the trend, right? But they do have that ability. They also can take on some money, which makes for some really interesting conversations when you look at, like, a couple of starters who are under control beyond this year, right? And how you could not just improve for the stretch run here, but you could also start and look at how your team looks for 2025 too. So those options are going to be out there. Do they have the, you know, the gumption to make that deal? I mean, it's always a kind of a, it's better to have them show it than say it, right?
Yeah.
However you want to phrase that. And, you know, I think it'll be a real clear, I think there are two real clear litmus tests ahead for the Cardinals. One is their view of this. Well, there are multiple litmus tests. One, their view of this team and how much they want to augment it and how much they think, you know, this last year with this last guaranteed year with Paul Goldschmidt, what do they want to do with it? And where do they think this team could go, and how available that division title is? Two, I think it'll be a litmus test on how the other teams view the Cardinals minor league system, which is always good at the trade deadline. And three, the big one, their urgency. Like, all right, how much did last year sting? They've said a lot about how last year and the losing record was unacceptable and, you know, they needed to get away from it. Okay, well, how urgently are you going to do that? And what are you building for? Are you going to make a move to survive this year? The Lester move, the Hap move, are you going to get a move to thrive this year, which is one that I think a lot of fans would welcome them making.
Either way, it is certainly going to be more interesting and I think more fun than it was at this point last year. Derek, I always appreciate the chance to catch up and chat about things, and I look forward to what the next couple of months certainly bring us and bring us the chance to cover, I guess.
Yes, you bet. It won't be dull, that's for
sure.
We know that's the guarantee of the Cardinals. They're never dull.
Amen. Thank you, Derek. Always appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.